Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7 read, "The Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.'" Hello, and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Bryce, and today we are continuing our study in the attributes of God. This whole quarter we've been focused on theology proper, meaning the study of God himself. And for the sake of organization in this podcast, we've been looking at one passage of Scripture, but one of the most important, in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, where Moses has asked God to show him his glory, and God's response was with this statement. And we've been looking at each part of the statement. We saw last week how God is one who is abounding in steadfast love and keeping steadfast love. But it says specifically he's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's what we're considering today. I've called this podcast Yesterday, Today, Tomorrow. We're talking about the faithfulness of God. Now, to begin with some definition of what we mean when we talk of God's faithfulness, there's a sense in which as believers, the faithfulness of God is almost a it's such common language to us. It's an instinct we have almost, like prayer is. It just flows out of us. There is a sense that God is faithful, but it is worth taking a little bit of time and thinking about what we mean when we say God is faithful, and of course, more importantly, what the Bible means when it says that. The word for faithfulness in our passage, abounding in faithfulness, is a Hebrew word because the whole Old Testament is written originally in Hebrew. The Hebrew word is emet. This is actually where we got the name of our second boy, Emmet, which we spell E-M-E-T on the basis of the Hebrew word. Emmet, Emmet. It means faithfulness. It also, in context, means truth. And that just depends on if a person is being referenced, a God or a person, then it's faithfulness. But if a word or a statement is being referenced, that is a faithful word. In other words, it is true. So emet can also mean truth. But the way we're using it and the way it's being used of God in this passage, of course, is about faithfulness. Now, just a comment on the word faithfulness. This is not necessarily true of this Hebrew word that we're considering, but it is true anytime you see faithfulness in the New Testament. And anytime we use faithfulness in English as well, there's some truth to this. Faithfulness can have two meanings, depending on what the focus of faithfulness is. Number one, faithfulness, so when it's used in the Greek in the New Testament, when we use it in our conversation, faithfulness can mean one who is full of faith, just meaning one who has faith. So faithfulness can be the same as believing. So sometimes in the New Testament, when faith, someone is said to be faithful, we just mean that they have faith, they are a genuine believer. The second meaning, it turns that definition around. So instead of you having faith or trust in God, faithfulness is, we're talking about someone in whom others can rightly or easily trust or have some level of faith, not ultimate faith, of course. But the question is, can you be trusted? If you can be trusted, then you are faithful because I can put my trust, my faith in you, knowing that you won't let me down. Just so we know, when we're talking about God's faithfulness, it's, of course, that second definition we're interested in, not the first. We're not talking about God having faith. We're talking about the fact that God is someone you can reasonably trust in. Because of his track record, because of who he is, he will not let you down if you put trust in him. We could make up a word, I guess, and say that the faithfulness of God, as it's used here, and as we're using it to talk about God, is really God's trustability, meaning you can rightly, reasonably trust him. It doesn't mean we always do. That's a problem on our end. But it means you can, and he will not ever let you down. He is perfectly trustable. You can think of this in relation to what he said last week, that he was abundant in steadfast love and faithfulness. Remember that steadfast love, it is God's love, but it relates especially to his keeping his covenant toward his people. So even there is a trustability in God. He keeps his covenant to his people. And so it's fitting that he should be abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Those overlap a little bit. So we are talking about the trustability of God. You can and also should, would be reasonable to trust God. Now, I want to click on that and dig in just a little bit deeper so that it's very clear in our minds. When we say God is faithful, it means you should trust him, and you won't be disappointed if you do. But we should say, trust him for what? What are we trusting him to do, to be or to do? What are we trusting him to be or to do? And I would say, best I can tell, the faithfulness of God means that you can fully, completely trust him to do these three things. And when our passage here says abundant in faithfulness, that's the emphasis, is there are no exceptions at all. He will do these three things always without any exceptions ever. He is more faithful than your bank, backed as it is by the FDIC. It doesn't matter. He's more faithful than that. If you trust God to do these three things, you will never, ever be disappointed because he'll do them every time. Number one, most fundamentally, but in a sense maybe less helpful to us, he is faithful to do what he has purposed. Now, meaning, if God purposes to do something in his hidden will, his will of decree, what he has planned from eternity past, if he plans to do it, he will not change his plan. He will not change his mind. He will do exactly what he has planned. You could trust him to do what he has planned without alteration. I say that might be a little less helpful for us when we think of God's faithfulness. It's very important, and we ought to bear it in mind, but it's a little less helpful because notice I said he will do all that's in his hidden will. It is largely hidden from us. So we know God will do what he has planned, but he's not told us everything he has planned. You don't know everything God has planned for your life. He's going to do it. There's no way he won't, but you don't know what it is. So you can trust him to do what he has planned, but that's a little bit less helpful for us in the trials of life. It's important to bear in mind. It is important because it then serves as a basis for something that is incredibly important for us, and that's number two. So number one, you can trust God always to do exactly what he's planned. Number two, you can, as a consequence of number one, trust God to do exactly what he has said he will do. Now, what God has said he will do, we call his revealed will, and it is a part of his full, complete will of all he's planned here. He tells us some of what he has said he will do. There's also part of God's revealed will that refers to what he wants to happen, which has to do with the moral being of God. We won't get into that. But if you just take a part of what God's planned to do, most of it you have no idea about. He'll do it, but you don't know what it is. But then some of it God has told you. He has freely, graciously decided to tell us, this is what I will do. And since we know that God always does exactly what he plans, we therefore know that if he tells us any of those plans, we can trust him completely to do the plans he's told us he has. Does that make sense? So if he has revealed it to us, what he has said to us, he will do it. This is, by the way, the basis for our confidence in Scripture is the faithfulness of God. If we didn't fully believe that God will always do what he has said, then Scripture loses all of its help for us. Then it's just a coin toss in trial. Will he come through for me? Will he help me? Will no temptation overtake me except what's common to man, and God's faithful and will provide a way of escape? Is it 50-50? Is it only on certain days? Or since he has said, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that he will provide a way of escape because he's faithful, is it true that in every case in which I'm tempted, with no exceptions whatsoever, he absolutely will provide a way of escape so that I won't be tempted beyond my ability? So it's important that we believe that he is completely faithful to what he has said. This is what makes the promises of God's word powerful. They are backed by God himself, by his faithfulness. Titus 1:2 talks about our hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. So God has said, if you trust in his son Jesus, you get eternal life. He has promised, even before the ages began, that's when his purpose began there. He revealed that in time, he has promised, and he never lies. He has promised, trust in Jesus, you have eternal life. And you can trust God. There is a trustability to God in this. You can trust him entirely. He never lies. He doesn't lie. So it is true. What he has said, he will do. That's what it means that he is faithful. That means we can hold on to his word. Jesus amazingly goes so far as to say in John 10:35, Scripture cannot be broken. And Jesus in that context is talking about even down to individual words. Scripture cannot be broken. And why? Because whatever God has said, he will do. And there can be no exception to that whatsoever. So you can have confidence in all the promises of God's word. You can't have confidence in promises you make up or that you infer, but if it's a promise that's given in Scripture directly, like a Romans 8:28, that God is working all things together for good for those who love God, you can trust that completely because you can trust God completely. So God is trustable, one, to do all he's planned, most of which we don't know, but two, whatever of that plan he's revealed, whatever he said he will do, you can trust God completely to do it. And I would say that the faithfulness or trustability of God relates to a third item. God is also trustable to act consistent with his own attributes. That means God will never in anything he does act uncharacteristically. He will oftentimes act in ways maybe we didn't anticipate or expect, but it's always in ways completely consistent with who he is. He's never out of character. He never has a bad day or an off day. We can trust him to be completely steady and faithful. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, he is the same God, unchanging, and he will only do things. He has only planned things, and he will only do things and say things that are consistent with who he is as the perfect being. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, and there in that case, it's that definition of faithful, faithless that has to do with not having faith. If we are faithless, if we don't trust him, he remains faithful, meaning worthy to be trusted. Why? For he cannot deny himself. He just can't do it. If we deny God, he still can't deny himself. He will remain faithful to all he's planned, but he will also remain faithful to who he is. He cannot deny himself. This is why, again, it relates to point two, but again, a double confidence that we have in the scriptures. If God has said he'll do something, he'll do it. He cannot lie, partly because he is an unlying God. That's who he is. And we can trust him not to change from that, that he is always going to be consistent with truth, because he is a God of truth, and that will never change. There will not be exceptions to that in our lives as his people. He is not like a moody friend or a moody spouse. It's true, like I've said, he's not always going to do what we expect him to do, because he is God. But the character of God that he has revealed in the scriptures, that's who God is. And you don't have to be afraid that God will turn out to be something completely other than that. He is trustable to act and be consistent with himself unchangeably. So you can trust him to do whatever he has planned, that is, whatever he's told you that he has planned in the scriptures, all the promises, you can trust him. You can take him to the bank. They are completely trustable because he's trustable. And you can trust God even when you don't have a specific promise to hold to in a difficult situation. You always do have some. But even if you're going through something so difficult and you wish you had a promise of God saying, I'll get you out of this. If you don't have that in the moment and you're confused and struggling and afraid, at the very bottom, what you can trust is that God is perfect and he will never stop being perfect. You can trust him always to be himself, meaning he will always do what is right. Therefore, God is a faithful God, abundant in faithfulness. It might be that you are going through a very difficult trial right now, and Satan has got the wheels spinning in your head, wondering if God is really who you thought. Now, maybe he is a little different than you thought because of ignorance on your end, and you need to study scripture and know him more clearly, but it might be that Satan's trying to move you from who God reveals himself to be, because if he is good and powerful and loving, how could these hard things be happening? And you're starting to doubt the faithfulness of God, that he'll be faithful to himself in your specific circumstance. Or maybe Satan's been attacking the truthfulness of scripture. Is God really going to do what he said in the scriptures, given how difficult things may be, or trials, or things you've seen in life? Whatever the case in the past might have been, may God help us all now to think this way.